Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. 1 year ago, Rebound Youth Services launched a new program for homeless youth called Night Stop. The volunteer-based program provides temporary shelter for youth to prevent them from living on the street or becoming unhoused. Pinder De Silva, Interim Executive Director, Rebound Child and Youth Services, will give us an update on the first year of this program, with its successes and challenges. She will also fill us in on the new Northumberland Youth Wellness Hub opening in Port Hope. It took place earlier this week. Rebound played a role in creating the new service for young people across the county. It also has ambitious plans to help youth from Brighton to Trent Hills to Bewdley. Take a listen and see if you know a young person who might benefit from this program. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Pinder De Silva, Interim Executive Director for Rebound and Child Youth Services. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It was just over a year ago the Night Stop program was announced. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the details of what has taken place, can you remind listeners, what is the Night Stop program?
Yeah, actually, Night Stop program is one of the programs that Rebound Child and Youth Services offers. So within our mandate as an organization, we do a lot of work specifically related to, obviously, children and kids and youth. And our work revolves around, you know, early intervention, preventative work, focused on supporting kids with mental health, supporting kids that are, you know, going through potentially homelessness situations, food security, and, you know, youth justice diversion, those types of situations. And so recognizing that across Northumberland County, there really isn't a lot of programs that are really specific to supporting youth homelessness. The Night Stop program was one of the initiatives that we applied for a grant through the Ontario Trillium Fund, and we received funding for. So it's actually a program that was started in the UK as part of their approach to shelter diversion. So let's, you know, support kids before we have to put them in potentially, you know, a homelessness shelter. And so we are one of the organizations in the province that has the Night Stop program. It's like I said, oh, did you have a question?
I really appreciate all that you've said, and there's a lot in there, and I'd like to dig into some of it a little deeper as we go forward. You were mentioning that it came from the UK. How unique is it in Canada? How many other Night Stop programs are there in Canada?
So I know so Kids 360 that operates out of Toronto is the lead agency for Ontario. So across Canada, I don't know, but I know within Durham and ourselves, like Durham Region has a Night Stop program and we have a Night Stop program. So, and then of course, Kids 360 has one. And I think there's a few more sprinkled throughout Ontario.
How is this different than foster care?
It's different in the sense that one for it's meant to be temporary, right? We're really short term, right? In a sense that the goal is to actually reunite the youth if it's safe, if it's, you know, an option with their family, because often something has happened to cause that familial breakdown, right? And so the intention is to try to reunite them with the family if it's safe and to do so. And with the Night Stop program, we have host families who are vetted, who are trained, and it's for a short period of time, anything from 1 week to, you know, up to 1 day, sorry, up to 6 weeks is really the maximum, because our goal is not for it to turn into anything that's permanent. it really is intended to divert and hopefully get the youth connected back to within their network.
I understand that part of the rationale for this is to avoid young people having to sleep rough. And I wonder, why is it important to treat young people differently than adults in this case?
Oh, interesting concept. I think when you look at it from a couple of folds, when you look at it from a prevention mode, youth, you know, they come with lots of complex issues, and there aren't always, especially between the ages of 16 to 18, there isn't always a lot of supports that are available for them, right? So before 16, they have, you know, they have CAS and other supports in place. After 18, they have the adult version of, you know, if they're homeless, of the shelters, right? But between that really unique age of 16 to 18, there aren't actually a lot of supports available, especially if there isn't a youth shelter within the community. So we have to treat them differently in the sense that without it, we're potentially, you know, setting up the youth to become chronically homeless, chronically not able to deal with mental health, chronically dealing with food security, lack of employment, and all of those resources. So we need to be preventative. We need to have those early intervention processes in place to hopefully set them up for longer term success.
I don't know if this is repetitive or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And I guess what I wanted to know is, what needs does this age group have that adults don't?
I think part of it comes like from, you know, they're young. And as a youth, you might actually not even know what your needs are, right? And so we see so many youth who you can clearly see that there are struggles, whether they're related to mental health, whether they're related, whatever they might be related to, but they don't have that insight yet to realize that they've got these issues. And that if they were to, you know, go through a little bit of counseling, a little bit of brief mental health services, that they might actually be able to turn the ship around, right? And so there's the complexity of them not recognizing that they're in this situation, which, you know, if we could just intervene in this, you know, level or that level, whatever it is that the needs of the youth are, we could potentially completely change their trajectory, right? And with adults, you know, there's often, they've been through the system quite a few times. They know that the challenges that they're facing, and for whatever reason, they're not able to address it. With youth, they haven't been fully part of the system yet, and they're not sure what it is that their needs actually are yet.
You've already alluded to the fact that there are volunteer hosts.
Yes.
In our conversation, and I want to know, how do you choose a host home?
So we have a very strict vetting process that is passed down from the provincial model. So we follow a process in terms of, you know, is the home safe? What is the history of the individuals in terms of, you know, we have to do like a vulnerable sector check. We do a home visit to make sure the home is actually going to be a safe space. Do they actually have space available in the home, like a separate room that the youth would be able to, you know, spend the night in, right? Because that is intended just for the night, the host family. So we have a series of things that we are looking for, you know, a welcoming family, someone that's, you know, is really wanting to give back to the community, hopefully, you know, and they see the view, the vantage point of if they can provide that support, that interim support right now to the youth, hopefully they're part of the solution of, you know, bringing that, the concept of the community responsibility back to supporting youth, especially youth homelessness. So we're really looking for host families that see the value of doing that type of work, the value of the work that we're doing, and the complexity of the youth that are, you know, coming into the system that require the support. So welcoming, inclusive type of space is really what we're looking for.
Why is it set up as volunteers and not professionals?
Because the way that Night Stop has been introduced across, you know, I guess the world, UK, it's it's really intended to have that community approach. So let's bring the concept of the issues that youth are facing back to the community level, right? So we have professional supports, whether it's through us, whether it's the mental health services, whether it's the schools, whether it's the police or victim services. We have all of those wraparound professional supports available, and they are 100% there to support the youth as needed. But it was that community aspect that we really wanted to bring back into focus and really shine a light on the wonderful community, especially in Northumberland County, that does exist out there, and so many host families that want to be able to give back. So we really wanted to bring a model that brought that concept of community back into place again.
Are the volunteers trained?
Yes, they go through training with our Night Stop coordinator. So they have a full, you know, binder that they go through in terms of health and safety training, in terms of like everything, you name it. They go through all the different trainings of, you know, how to address the youth. What if there's confrontation? What do you do? How can you support the youth in the different conversations? So they go through some fairly strict training. Yeah.
Are there any costs that are covered for the volunteers?
So they do receive a per diem. And the reason for that is because the hope is that they're able, the youth are typically, they would go in the evening to the home. They're not intended to spend, you know, 24 hours a day in the home. It is night stop. So they're stopping over there for the night, hopefully going to school during the daytime. So there's a per diem provided to the families for them to be able to feed the youth dinner, to be able to feed them breakfast, and hopefully send some lunch with them to the school. So they do receive some compensation that way, because that's really important for us, because we have lots of families that would be interested in doing it, but for financial reasons aren't able to. And we want to be able to remove that barrier for the host families.
You received a $100,000 grant from the mm-hmm. provincial government. You mentioned that already.
Yeah.
Has that covered all the associated costs?
It pretty much has. And as you probably know, you know, setting up a program in year one is always the most challenging in terms of getting all of the training material, in terms of the tech that's needed, all of those pieces. And so it has covered it in that sense for sure. I think what's unique about Night Stop is as it's evolved, especially in the last 3, 4, 5 months, what we're realizing is the minute that a youth is, you know, unhoused and shows up at our doorsteps is when Night Stop starts, right? And that whole case management that needs to take place around, you know, is there any way that we can reconcile them with the family even before they have to be put into a host family, right? And so as we're moving forward with figuring out what does Night Stop look like in the future, those are some key pieces around our funding that we're addressing, right? So what does it mean for one of our staff to actually carry a caseload as the youth are coming through, you know, if they're unhoused or facing food security issues, right? So what does that caseload management look like in the short term, but also in the long term?
So does Rebound make a contribution then to the program as well? Is there a cost to your organization?
No, because the funding feeds into Rebound and then we disperse it obviously to our because the staff that are part of the Night Stop program are Rebound staff. And so the funding just feeds into Rebound for us to be able to run the program.
Is it financially sustainable?
In the long run, I would say without ongoing operational funding, it wouldn't be sustainable because especially as we've realized the complexity with which the youth are coming. This isn't just a matter of, oh, we have a referral for Night Stop, let's connect them with a host family. This is, okay, there's been a familial breakdown. The police are involved, victim services involved. Okay, we need to now get involved with the school to make sure they're going to school. What does that look like, right? And do we need to refer them to mental health services? Do they want to go to mental health services? So it's that whole assessment piece is such a crucial piece that we're learning. And so to sustain that, we have to have operational funding that will support that. And so that is one of the pieces that I'm going on the road And talking to, you know, a number of our funders who are very much invested in supporting youth homelessness in the hopes that we can get some operational funds to be able to make this sustainable long term to support the community.
How much do you think you need?
I would say anywhere to make it. That's a really good question. I think to make it long-term sustainable, anywhere between 75 to 100 annually would allow us to pay everything that we need to pay in terms of, you know, all of the operational expenses that come with the program. So it's not an extremely expensive program to run from that perspective. Or maybe you think it is. I think it's not. But it gives the staff the ability to really run a thorough case management process with the youth.
You mean 100,000 and 75,000, right? When you said it, you said 100 to 75, which is...
Sorry, 75,000 to 100,000, like in that range it would keep us sustainable for sure.
Thanks for the clarification.
It's because I talked too fast and it came out that way, right?
No worries. It would seem that this is a more flexible model than a shelter model, where it would be a single place where youth would need to go. Is that true?
I think both the shelter model and this Night Stop model serves a purpose, and they serve, I think, unique purposes on their own. The shelter model, I think, is still absolutely essential to really be that place where youth are, where we can catch youth, where maybe the familial breakdown is going to stay a little bit more permanent on a longer term basis, right? And so we still need a shelter model in place to ensure that that happens. And whereas the Night Stop model is really intended to prevent us having to have to put youth in the shelter model, right? That if we can actually circumvent, get them with the host family, you know, for a short period of time, get them reconnected with however we need to connect them, get them to be, you know, independent again or connected with their family, then they don't end up in the shelter model. But you need the shelter model also for those situations where we can't make that happen, right?
You've mentioned several times in our conversation the word referral, and you've mentioned some organizations. Can you be a little bit more specific? Who refers someone? And what is the most common way that young people come to the program?
Anyone can actually refer a youth to the program, including the youth themselves. So we've had referrals, depending on the youth situation, directly from the youth. We've had them from like a youth friend or family, like family friend that has referred them. We've had the police refer the youth if they have come into contact with a youth that is unhoused. We've had victim services that have referred the youth. So they can come from many different areas, and the youth themselves can actually refer them to our programs. Any one of our programs, they can easily come and just, access our services. Yeah.
And just for clarity, is there a commitment of time? In other words, is there a limit on how long they can use the service?
The Night Stop program maximum is 6 weeks, because that's the model as it's intended, because otherwise it turns into a foster care situation or a shelter situation. And so it is intended for a short period of time. And the one thing I should mention is it is intended for youth who are low to medium risk, right? So if there are youth that are at a higher risk situation, we would take a different approach, whether it's with the family, whether it's with police or victim services or whoever we need to take that approach with. So it is intended. That's why it's short term for the 6 weeks. They're low to medium risk, which means that hopefully we have the capacity to be able to connect them within their network so that they can find permanent housing.
You've also alluded in our conversation about other services that the young people get exposed to while they're involved in the Night Stop program.
Yeah.
You mentioned mental health. I'm just wondering about like addictions and other kinds of services.
Yeah.
Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned earlier, or maybe while we were still off air, We just did the grand opening for the Youth Wellness Hub Ontario for Northumberland today. It officially opened doors December 1st, but we did the official open house this morning, and that's located at 15 Cavan Street. And so within that hub and also within our Cobourg location, we have mental health clinicians that support youth. And the one at the hub, the clinician that's located at the hub, there is a specialty related to substance abuse. So it's mental health and substance addictions that support that we do provide. So they can absolutely receive what we call brief services. That means anywhere between, you know, 6 to 8, 9 sessions with one of our clinicians to hopefully, you know, address some of the challenges and issues that that the youth have. And then if additional supports are required, then we would absolutely refer them out to the additional supports if they require more than 6 to 8 sessions.
So what then is the outcome Rebound is looking for in this program? Is it transitional? Is it independence? And how do you achieve that?
I think that depends on the youth. One of our, for us, it's really, really important that we meet the youth where they're at, right? And depending on their family situation, it may not be safe for us to reconnect them with the family, right? And so it's really, really dependent on each individual. Our goal is when we're looking at, you know, what was successful and what was not for in terms of if we're dividing it up in that way, we're really looking at it from the youth perspective. If it's successful for them to, you know, become part of our trusteeship program through Ontario Works and receive support, financial support, and we find them a place to live independently, and that's what, you know, is working for the youth, then that's success for us, right? If it's reconnecting them with the family and it's a safe environment, that's absolutely success for us. So we really are approaching it from an individual approach, as long as we are able to hopefully change the trajectory that they don't end up being permanent, like longer term, you know, homeless. I feel like, you know, we've made that good success. Staying in school is a success, right? So whether that school is through alternate education or, you know, our mainstream high schools, if they're able to stay connected to the education system, that's a huge success because we know how amazing, you know, the amazing support that they can receive through our education system. So it's really dependent.
What are the unique challenges when it comes to finding housing for young people?
The challenges we see is one, they're young, right? And the, you know, using the words that they're living independently, we have to really kind of, I guess, use that in a bit of a loose fashion, right? They're independent, but they're working with our trusteeship caseworker to ensure that they're getting the support that they need. So what we do is we work with the county through the Ontario Works program to ensure whatever the housing looks like, if they're living independently, as you know, with roommates, with renting a, you know, a room and board, however it is, that it is safe housing. That's the key for us. But it's difficult because, you know, not all landlords or not all individuals who are taking youth in see potentially the value of taking the youth in, right? There's lots of worry around, okay, if this youth is unhoused, why are they unhoused, right? What did they do wrong to be unhoused? And so we hope that we're able to, you know, work with the landlords or whoever, wherever the youth are living to be able to break down some of those misconceptions and some of those thoughts around, you know, it must be the youth's fault that they're unhoused. So we do try to do our best to make sure that we're able to, you know, resolve some of those concerns that they might have. But it makes it very complex, right? It's they're independent, but they're not really independent, right? It's challenging for them.
You already spoke a little bit about this, but I'd like to explore it a little further, and that is the Northumberland Youth Wellness Hub. Yes. Can you tell us about this and what role did Rebound play in its creation?
Yeah, absolutely. So this hub is the creation of many, many partners and so much advocacy that took place a few years ago with, you know, with the town or the municipality of Port Hope. The mayor was an amazing advocate, MPP Bacini, an amazing advocate for getting, you know, the hub out here. So the hub model is a provincial model. So we were the 32nd hub, I believe, that was approved across the province. And so we really had to, you know, the team really painted that picture around the need is there. We are, you know, in a situation where if we build this, the youth will come. They will access the services that are there, right? And so Rebound is the lead agency for bringing that model implementing and operationalizing that model. But we have some key partners that support the process along the way. And so that planning table or that team includes the YMCA, it includes our hospital, it includes CHC, so the Community Health Center, and of course it includes the municipality of Port Hope, and it also includes community living. And so we have all worked very diligently in the last year and a half, once it was announced, to get it to this stage where we are officially open. So Rebound as the lead agency is now, you know, supporting the operationalized, what does that look like day to day now that the hub is officially open? And it's been a very, very exciting time for us.
And what services will it provide?
So the model within the Youth Wellness Hub is called the Integrated Youth Services. And so it is a combination, purposefully, a combination of primary care. So we have a full-time nurse practitioner that works out of the hub, and she is amazing and able to provide almost any service that youth will require. And what's fantastic is that it doesn't matter if your health card, you don't have your health card. It doesn't matter if your health card is expired. It doesn't matter what your coverage is. If you are coming into the hub requiring primary care, the nurse is able to provide that primary care, which is absolutely amazing. So they don't have to be attached to a doctor. They don't, you know, it's whatever their needs are. So we've got primary care. We've got mental health and substance abuse counseling available also. Out of there, we have a social worker that's part of the team. We have a peer support coordinator. So he is absolutely amazing in terms of connecting with the youth, brings a lot of lived experience to the table. And so there's opportunities for the youth to kind of learn and hopefully bond with him and get, you know, get acquainted with everything that happens at the hub. And then we have a fair amount of, we're working on it because we literally opened 2 weeks ago, a fair amount of social and recreation programs that will run out of there. So we're just in the midst of finalizing some agreements with our community partners. We'll hopefully be able to offer, you know, additional mental health services through our partnership with CNARC. We'll be able to offer employment services, workshops there with our other community partners who will come in and deliver those. We're hoping that, you know, there will be newcomer services for the LGBTQ community. So it's really a wraparound approach for our community partners to be able to come in and use that hub to deliver services. The hub also physically, it also offers, it's a place where the youth can just literally come and hang out if that's what they need to do. So after school, come hang out, play pool, you know, play video games, play board games, come do homework. There's a study area. So they have access to computers, printer, if they need to do study in a quiet area. There's a community cupboard. So if they need access to clothing, to food, to personal hygiene products, it's in a fully open area. They can just go up to the community cupboard and take what they require. And then we've got shower and laundry, you know, services. So if someone, you know, is in need of, they don't have a safe space to be able to go and have a shower or do their laundry, they can come to the hub to do the laundry and to have a shower and just get cleaned up before they have to head back out to wherever they might be going. So it's literally a one-stop shop for the youth for everything.
Who is the intended audience for this?
The age group is anywhere between 12 to 24. So it's actually a fairly wide audience. So when we say youth, we literally mean any youth, right? So it could be a youth who, you know, is 12, 13, 14 years old after school, they're looking for, you know, somewhere to hang out with their friends. Come, let's come chat with us. Come hang out over here. It's intended for youth who are unhoused or in precarious maybe situations that have, you know, that need a little bit of space to come. The goal is it's a really, you know, warm, inclusive space. And if in the process of you hanging out, you realize I need a little bit more help, then that little bit more help is available, right? So whether it's medical, whether it's mental health, whether it's food security, clothing security, it's here. Come chat with us. We can get that for you. So it's really intended for a very wide audience, I guess, from a youth perspective.
Is it serving the entirety of Northumberland County?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
But it's located in Port Hope.
Yes.
How are youth elsewhere supposed to get there?
So we have transportation as part of our budget, within our budget. So we have the ability to be able to pay for Y Drive or for cabs to bring the youth to the hub for appointments, and especially if they have an appointment with their clinician or primary care. We're actually finding a lot of youth, especially in the Port Hope, they're just walking over. So we've been open for 2 weeks, and every day we have had anywhere between 8 to 15 youth just coming by throughout the day, which is fantastic. But we've got transportation built into it.
Well, that makes sense, of course. But I wonder about, you know, young people from Trent Hills or Brighton.
Yes.
Or Alnwick-Haldimand in the rural areas.
Yeah. So we've got transportation built in for them. Yeah. So we will pay for that transportation to support their access to the center.
What are the relationships between the municipalities then in terms of referring young people and getting them aware that they can do this?
Oh, it's been really, really, really great. Like I said, in terms of municipality of Port Hope, like absolutely fantastic. They've been such a strong advocate for bringing the hub here. And the other municipalities were strong supporters when all of this was happening. So all of the municipalities are very much aware and in support of the hub, because they all recognize the lack of services for youth, especially unhoused youth or youth from, you know, that required this type of support.
When we talk about these kinds of services for young people, it is often associated with depression or addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Will this hub offer services for young people, say, struggling with gender identity issues, or young people who are trans or, you know, violent at home? I guess I'm trying to get a sense of the spectrum of issues for the listeners who might know of a young person who's struggling.
Mm-hmm. They will be. And that's the amazing part of the hub, is that the expectation isn't that whether it's Rebound staff or, you know, the five program staff that we have at the hub, the intention isn't that they must provide all of this range of service, right? The intention of the hub is really to become that place as a community that all of our service providers can come to support the youth that need the help that they need, right? And so we're really building those partnerships for that to be able to happen. So when you look at a youth who might need, you know, additional supports, and whether it's mental health, whether it's substance abuse, that go beyond our brief services, we've got partnerships in place to be able to identify, oh, this is what you require. Let's get you connected to the right people at the right time so that you actually get the services that you need. So the breadth and depth of the services that the hub can provide is fairly extensive, because we've got a very deep partnership with our whole community, right? So it's really that wraparound holistic approach for the youth.
How does it fit into other programs that are local within the various communities that support young people, you know, sports activities or church groups or other, you know, Boy Scouts, all this kind of stuff?
It fits really well. So the YMCA, which runs fantastic, you know, programs for kids and youth, They're one of our main partners. So they were part of the collaboration team that has, you know, that we've met regularly around what does this all look like. It fits in really well, even the recreation programs that the municipalities are running. How do we collaborate to either come to you or you come to us in terms of delivering programs? You know, we've got employment service providers that are providing services specific to youth entrepreneurship. So it fits in really, really well. Around what are the needs of the youth and who do we connect with the community to make sure that you're going to get the services that you require. So we've done a lot of digging with other partners around what can you do and how do we bring it all together.
It sounds to me like it's not just you go to Port Hope. It sounds to me like you guys also go out into the community to interact. It's sort of symbiotic.
Yeah. Yes. So we do a fair amount of outreach because we obviously recognize that Northumberland County is just not just Port Hope and not just Cobourg, and that there are so many other communities that are hurting for services and that need the services, right? And so especially our peer support worker, he does a fair amount of outreach with all of the various schools across the county. And whether it's just, you know, sharing with them what the hub can offer or doing a little bit more one-to-one, whatever it is that the youth require. So outreach is a big component for us. And then through all of our other rebound programs, when we are out in the community, we are talking about all of our programs, including what we can offer at the hub. So yeah, it's all encompassing.
So what's next for Nightstop and the hub?
What's next is I'm in the process of securing, you know, additional funding for Nightstop. I think what's next is it's a really great partnership. Because right now, majority of the Nightstop operates out of our Cobourg location. And so one of the conversations we've started having is, does our Nightstop coordinator or our homelessness caseworker spend one day a week at the hub, right? So that because they're so well aware and skilled at identifying, ooh, this might be a youth that requires a bit more of our support, right? Because it's literally what they live and breathe every single day. And so we're working through what does that look like in terms of their schedule and being able to bring that the Nightstop program, the service into the hub so that the youth are seeing directly what is available to them. So we're working through all of those logistical pieces.
Binder De Silva, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been absolutely great. We really appreciate, you know, all of the work that you're doing to highlight, you know, the importance of the work that Rebound is doing, and especially related to youth homelessness. It's such a, you know, it's an issue that's at the heart of our community, and it's so important that we take a community approach to hopefully helping to resolve and solve some of those issues so it doesn't turn into chronic adult homelessness. So
that was Pinder De Silva, Interim Executive Director, Rebound Child and Youth Services. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.